Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this May 5th edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is Cinco de Mayo on this Wednesday. Happy Cinco de Mayo to you. Yesterday was May the 4th, be with you, right? For all the Star Wars fans out there. May is off to a great start, right? I know it's a little chilly here in mid-Michigan, a little chilly. It was definitely a chilly opening day for the Lansing Lugnuts. But let's be real, folks. Wasn't it just good to see baseball back in Lansing? Baseball, Lansing Lugnuts baseball back in downtown Lansing. It just felt good to see that. The atmosphere was off the chain. Precautions were taken, of course. You know, the stadium, Jackson Field, excuse me, was at 20% capacity. The Lugnuts did a great job of making sure that everybody was spaced apart. Everybody was wearing masks unless they were eating or drinking. And, you know, it was just awesome. They had this thing set up where when you sit down, you know, if you wanted to get a beverage or something to eat, you could, you know, have it delivered right to your seat. They took every precaution necessary in the world that we're living in, right? That is the COVID-19 pandemic. And gosh, I mean, I just felt like, you know, the players being out there now in this organization, just seeing fans back in the stands, it just did something to boost the morale of everyone involved, from the players and coaches to, of course, the fans, right, who showed up cheering for the Lansing Lugnuts. But again, it had been more than 600 days, we're talking about, folks, since we've seen an official Lansing Lugnuts baseball game played at Jackson Field. You know, the first minor league baseball game since 2019's Crosstown Showdown held annually between the Lansing Lugnuts and the Michigan State baseball team. So, pretty awesome stuff. And again, you know, this also begins the 25th season for the Lansing Lugnuts. And it's also a new chapter when it comes to, you know, major league affiliation for the squad as well, seeing as though this is the first game, was the first game, as a high A organization, as an affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. How awesome is that? Lansing also playing its first game as part of the high A Central Division, which replaced the Midwest League as part of minor league baseball's reorganization. And it's awesome stuff, man. And the Lugnuts, as far as their play on the field last night, they were fantastic. The Lugnuts scored in each of the opening four innings. Talk about getting off to a hot start. Talk about putting on a show for the fans who haven't seen baseball in more than 600 days. That's how you do it, man. And Lansing went on to beat the Lake County Captains 8-1. Jordan Diaz hit a two-run home run in left field with two outs in the opening inning. And Patrick McColl, Michael Goldberg, Lester Madden, Kobe Vance, and Drew Millis also drove in runs for the lug nuts. So just awesome, man. I mean, and you can just feel the atmosphere from, you know, warm-ups on, man. This squad just felt like, man, we finally got fans now after not playing for a year. These players just felt so much appreciation, you know, for the love that they were showed last night and, of course, moving forward now. So, but it was just an awesome setup. And we, you know, as we move along here and as we as a country continue to fight the pandemic that is COVID-19, you know, we'll see if capacity raises from, you know, 20% right now. You know, as restrictions hopefully get lifted and we continue to do the things that we need to do, you know, like get vaccinated and wear our mask and socially distance so that we can get back to a more and more normal life, you know, some kind of normal life in comparison to where we were before the pandemic, right? So props to you fans, man, for showing up and showing out downtown Lansing at Jackson Field to support the Lansing Lugnuts. You know, and it was, the love was real, man. You look at the photos and the visuals from those who took them yesterday, and a lot of smiling faces, a lot of responsible people wearing masks, right? And just a great atmosphere. Just a great atmosphere. You know, everybody in the dugout having to wear a mask. You know, if you're not out there, you know, playing the game, you got to throw on a mask. And, you know, of course, the fans out there, if you're not eating or drinking, you have to wear the mask. So, yeah, man, I thought everybody did a great job yesterday. And congratulations to the Lansing Lugnuts. And it really looks cool, man, you know, seeing those jerseys with the Oakland Athletics symbol. No, the logo, Oakland Athletics logo on the sleeve, on the right sleeve. So awesome, awesome stuff. All right, folks, on today's show, though, I want to show some love to the Michigan State Women's Golf Program. You know, it's a program that doesn't get a lot of press because, let's be real, I mean, golf, but specifically collegiate golf, and even more specific than that, women's college golf doesn't get a lot of press. But, you know, here in East Lansing, we have the privilege of watching a team just blossom year after year and accomplish some really cool things year after year. And that squad is the Michigan State women's golf team, which not only won the Big Ten championship not too long ago, but, you know, now they will take part in the NCAA regional, and they can make some noise, folks. They can make a lot of noise. And I'm going to give you the details on that. So I want you to hear what the head coach of the Michigan State women's golf program, Stacy Slobodnik-Stoll, had to say about this incredible accomplishment. All right, so hold tight. I want to give them some props, though. You'll hear a little bit of what she had to say about winning the Big Ten championship later on this hour. All right, but I got a few things I need to address here on Current Sports, folks. A few things I want to touch upon that we really haven't dove into all that extensively. And I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear from the public. You guys know, I mean, if you're listening to me and you are listening and you're driving around or you're sitting at home or you may be back at work and you're listening to me and saying, Al, that is total ludicrous. I totally disagree with you. You know, you can weigh in, right? Real simple to do so. You can pick up the phone, dial 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. If you call that number, we'll roll in your voicemail on the following day's Current Sports. A few of you have been doing that, and I love hearing from you guys, you know, especially seeing as though we're still not back in studio, and you know, since we've been issued a new era in the Current Sports chapter, right, doing the show from home in the midst of the pandemic. But I've heard from a few of you guys, you know, Alex, my guy Alex calls in and gives like his picks for the day, which I love. So, yeah, I mean, you can always call that number. Again, 517-355-WKAR. You can go to Facebook.com at Facebook.com/WKAR News and leave us a comment anywhere there. You know, our social media team, they usually post a show around about 2 p.m. or at the latest around like 6:30 p.m. And you can just head over to our Facebook page and just leave a comment below the post that pubs that day's current sports. And, you know, I'll see it and, you know, we'll read it on the show. You can also just tweet me directly. You know, just tweet me. If you're on Twitter, at least follow me at Al Martin, WKAR, right? But you can tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show by tweeting at WKAR News. So multiple ways in which you can weigh in. But I want to touch on this because I want to hear from you guys on this topic. Imani Bates, right? Imani Bates really shocked. He shocked the basketball world. He really shocked us, though, in here in East Lansing when he made the announcement that he was going to take his basketball talents when he was done with high school and bring them to Tom Izzo's Michigan State men's basketball program. How shocking was that? I remember it was around like this time last year, right? When I remember I was sitting on the couch and I got this notification, random notification on my phone from ESPN that Imani Bates had announced his commitment to play for Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball team. And I said, what? Where did that come from? Because, you know, as I've been highlighting, as so many have been highlighting, I mean, this is the most hyped high school basketball recruit since the king himself, LeBron James. I always, you guys know, I always bring up that Sports Illustrated cover. Magic, Michael, LeBron. Imani? Question mark, question mark. And then, you know, you see Imani Bates on the cover of, no, not like, you know, the SIT edition. No, it's like the cover of Sports Illustrated, folks. And I'm sitting there saying, oh, my gosh, this kid, you know, if when you reach the cover of Sports Illustrated, that's like, that's a monumental moment. You know, most athletes will tell you that they will never forget the moment when they were first featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated, if they are blessed to reach that kind of pinnacle of success. And Imani Bates doing it just as a high schooler, pretty special stuff. And that headline alone, being mentioned in the likes of Magic Johnson, the GOAT Michael Jordan, and LeBron James, and you're just a high school kid, that's insane, right? So the hype is real over this kid, and I think, I mean, when you look at his highlight tape, if you've had the privilege of watching him in person, I mean, he reminds me a lot of Kevin Durant. Tall, lengthy, skinny, but moves like a guard. He can shoot the basketball. He can take it to the rim. He's got a great first step. He's got hops. He's got swag, and he's got this drive. You know, when you, for those who have read that SI piece, it profiles his work ethic, and it really dives into how competitive he is. I mean, he's got like that Kobe-esque, Jordan-esque mentality, where he's always just pushing and pushing and pushing himself to try and be better and better and better. And I love that. I know that about his personality. Especially, you know, that's so rare, I feel like, in today's world when it comes to our youth, because they expect everything to just be handed to them today. Don't even, I know I sound like the old get off my lawn guy, even though I'm not that old. But I see it, you know, when it comes to this upcoming generation, I see it with my little sister, who's still in high school right now. You know, and her friends, they all think that, you know, success just comes like this, you know, like an Instagram influencer, right? One day you got like 100 followers, and then you do something on social media, and then bam, you're a social media influencer, and you're an overnight success. No, there's no such thing as an overnight success, not true success. So to see a young man like Imani Bates working his tail off every single day That's refreshing, man. And you have to. Look, I'm, you know, not to devalue any player for that matter who is knocking on the door of making the pros, right? I mean, the NBA draft is right around the corner, and, you know, those brothers had to work to accomplish that dream. But, you know, some players just really stand out because they do and go above and beyond to get better. Those are the really special players, and Imani Bates may be that kind of a player. So Imani Bates being that kind of a player, the fact that he made a commitment to Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball program, it came as a shock to everybody because Tom Izzo usually doesn't land guys like that. He just doesn't. You know, Tom Izzo, yeah, he may get the occasional five-star recruit here and there, no doubt. You know, I always bring up that year, yeah, the Syracuse year. You know, which he had, you know, talent like Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson Jr., you know, Cassius Winston, Josh Langford. He occasionally gets top talent, but it's rare. You know, Tom Izzo is known for getting like the three, maybe four-star guy, and that three- or four-star guy sticks around for 4 years, you know, the Draymond Greens of the world, right? So, you know, one and done. I mean, that's not when you look at the history of Izzo's tenure as the head coach of this program, he doesn't get a lot of one and done guys. And Imani Bates, we all know if he ends up playing collegiate ball, he will be a one and done player. So the fact that Imani Bates made that kind of commitment to Michigan State, a few things went through my mind. Number one, wow. Didn't see that coming. Number two, I will not believe it until I see it. Those are the two thoughts, and I think I actually even tweeted that out. I tweeted that out once I saw the news come across my phone, and you know, and then we saw the announcement on ESPN. I just couldn't believe that a player of this caliber would be running out of that Breslin Center tunnel rocking the green and white. I said, no. Especially when you look at all of the hype surrounding Imani Bates right now. I mean, it's pretty insane, man. It really is. And I just felt like, as you know, they're so, and look, let's be real here. Verbal commits, especially for top high school prospects, mean nothing. Mean absolutely nothing today. Right? Verbal commit, I mean, you stop it. Take that with like five truckloads of salt. Really, I mean, you're just coming out and verbally saying, yeah, I'm going to play here. Like, no, I mean, your word means really nothing today, especially as a high school kid who's got the world in his hands. He can go anywhere. Everybody's recruiting this young man, even in the pros. And that is the game changer for me as well. When I would have these discussions with people about Imani Bates and whether or not he was really going to suit up for Tom Izzo, I said, look, man, there's still a lot of time. It's a verbal commit, and there's still a lot of time for him to change his mind. And as time progresses, the voices around him are going to get louder and louder and louder and more convincing and more convincing and more convincing. And a lot of those voices are going to say, I mean, Imani, why go play ball at Michigan State? And I'm not even going to talk about where the program is right now. I think the program is still in a healthy space. And I think they are going to make some noise next year. They got some dogs coming in next season. Michigan State is going to be fine with or without Imani Bates. But, you know, the fact that, you know, Michigan State didn't have a great tourney year this past season, almost didn't make the tournament. And then, look, let's be real. The chatter about Tom Izzo and what he does to individual top talent, that's out there as well. There are many out there to think that, you know, Tom Izzo doesn't allow the top players to do, quote-unquote, their thing, and he stymies them by playing in the system. And that's a lazy argument if you ask me, but that stigma is out there when it comes to certain people. And he may have heard that. I'm just being real. I'm keeping it all the way 1,000 when trying to dive into the mindset and the voices that are surrounding Imani Bates. And especially, you know, this pro route, right? Especially, you know, the fact that, you know, the whole name, image, and likeness conversation in the world of collegiate hoops is still ironing out the details and still, you know, waiting to be solidified on many different levels. So with that being said, there are many elite hoop talents out there who are looking at this option of, okay, do I go and play collegiate ball or should I go play professional ball either overseas or in the G League and not have any restrictions to how much cheese I can make and how I make my cheese and go that route and then go to the pros? Because at first it was just a conversation that, okay, possibly high school recruits could do this, but more and more are not just talking about it, they are doing it. I mean, look, man, I'll bring up MJ Rice and Dylan Hunter, two of the top players in the 2022 class. Last week, they told Sports Illustrated that the NCAA lifting the dead period on June 1st and allowing players to visit campuses again, that would translate to decommitments. And that was spot on. Spot on. Imani Bates, regarded as the top player in the 2022 class, he decommits from Michigan State. He backed out. And, I mean, look, other players on that same day did the same thing. On the same day as Bates, Wasatch Academy, Mount Pleasant, Utah point guard, Nolan Hickman, he asked for a release from Kentucky due to a combination of Tony Barbie leaving the Wildcat staff. He became the head coach at Central Michigan, if you remember, and Hickman being homesick, according to Hickman's father. So he hails from Washington and attended Eastside Catholic High School in Washington before transferring to Wasatch this season. And then earlier in the week, again, we're still talking about the same week that Imani Bay said, no, I'm decommitting from Michigan State. Dream City Christian, which is located in Glendale, Arizona, Dream City Christian forward Arthur Kaluma, he decommitted from UNLV. And that was really a foregone conclusion after TJ Otzenberger, he left to take the head coaching job at Iowa State, and Kaluma's friend and fellow 2021 commit, Zion Collins, he was actually dropped by the Running Rebels following his arrest for a car crash in December that unfortunately, sadly, killed another driver. So you saw a lot of decommitments that same week. And, you know, this route of going to the G League now, again, it's becoming a more, in the eyes of many recruits, a more convenient route because it allows them to make a lot of money. Examples, Jalen Green and Isaiah Todd, top high school prospects. They agreed to terms to play in the G League not too long ago. I believe last month they made that agreement. Jalen, if you haven't seen Jalen Green or Isaiah Todd play, just do a quick YouTube search. They are ballers. Green is actually ranked by ESPN as the number one basketball recruit in 2020. And check this. You talk about numbers. You want to talk about numbers here and the possibilities for Green? Instead of playing collegiate ball, he could receive a contract valued at $500,000. That's what league sources told CNBC. And CNBC is saying that those sources are saying that that deal is pretty much finalized. And actually that the deal is closer to roughly $700,000. Again, folks, this is for a high school prospect to play in the G League. $700,000? Come on, man. That's a business decision. You telling me you would turn down $700,000 because you want to go to college and get that experience and, you know, possibly see fans in the stands, you know, yelling from the end zone. I don't know. $700,000, you just turn it down? Come on, man. Stop it. Let's be real. And you know, they got that boost from $500,000 to $700,000 from CNBC by throwing in, you know, bonuses, the total amount that can be attained through bonuses. But Green is expected to net over $1 million when factoring in possible endorsement deals that he's also eligible to sign. Yeah, so again, you see, I just took you through that. $500,000, actually $700,000, actually closer to $1 million when you look at the sponsorships you could possibly have. I mean, this changes the game, man. And I just think when you see that kind of money, when you get that kind of money waved in your face, man, skip college ball. I mean, dude. Now, again, I'm talking about the elite of the elite. I'm talking about the Imani Bates, you know, the Jalen Greens, the Isaiah Todds of the world. Why would you go to college if you got that, if you're staring at that much money right out of high school with still a great opportunity to make the NBA, to learn from NBA personnel? I mean, what's the downside here? What's the downside other than missing out on the college experience? I'm sorry, man. I love my college experience. It was some of the greatest experiences of my life. Probably the best time of my life was college. Loved it. But, dude, if I'm trying to put myself in Imani Bates' shoes, and I'm just equating this to Jalen Green, this is just Jalen Green. I mean, Imani Bates has a bigger name than Jalen Green. And you're seeing the possibility of millions of dollars being made right after your high school career. Come on, man. I'm sorry, Tom. I'm out. I'm going to go do this. I can make life-changing money for my family. Come on, man. No question. So players who enter the G League, quote, professional path program that's designed to allow elite high school prospects the chance to develop before turning pro. I mean, hey, man. You know, the other icing on the cake here is that these G League paths are also throwing in full scholarships to Arizona State University. I mean, if you're a parent and you're listening to this, how could you turn this down? If you're a parent, you know, like for instance, you know, Michael Jordan's parents, they were big on him getting his degree while also playing ball, right? Education is big, especially MJ's mom. And there's a lot of parents like that. Like, okay, yeah, ball is great, but, you know, sooner or later, the ball is going to stop dribbling. You got to get your education, my son. Well, you go the G League route. No cap on your money. Get all the sponsorships that you want. You know, sign all the deals that you can. And you'll get a full scholarship to Arizona State University. Why, you ask? Why ASU, you ask? Well, ASU has a partnership with the NBA. How incredible is that? Man, that's mind-boggling, man. The deal is too good. It is too good. So you talk about development, you know, the NBA G League is gosh, it's hard for, if you are a top prospect, it's hard not to look at that and say, all right, I'm gonna go over here. And, you know, there's pressure now on the NCAA. They know it. The NCAA is under pressure because this is a blow. By attracting these elite prospects to the G League's paid program, you know, some agents expect the number of top high schoolers, even some not as talented as a Green or Bates or Todd. Many more will look at this and decide to skip playing at the collegiate level overall instead of using the one-and-done model before going pro. And then the one-and-done model, which is supposed to be implemented back, well, I should say, is supposed to be scrapped now, soon. I don't know when. That's still in discussions, too. The pandemic just threw off everything. But will the one-and-done model being scrapped, will that help collegiate ball? Because those who are top high school prospects and want to dip their toe in the NBA water will be able to do so. And those who really want to play collegiate ball and really want to do it will do it and stay. May stay for longer. I don't know. But this is a threat to the NCAA right now because you could see a lot of high school ballers. I mean, a lot of agents out there, a lot of basketball personnel believes that this is a game changer now. You know, Roger Montgomery, the president of sports agency Elite Athlete Group, he told CNBC that the G League's program shouldn't be viewed as a mission to take down the NCAA, but added that the organization would need to adjust its offerings to players if it plans on attracting top talent. Yeah, the NCAA is going to have to change some things, man. You know? The NCAA, the way they currently do things, has to change. And the fact that we're even having the conversation of them, you know, allowing players to be paid for their, you know, name, image, and likeness, you know, the college football, college basketball games coming back now. The fact that we're even having those conversations and those conversations are possibly becoming realities very soon is a sign that they're feeling the pressure. It's getting pretty hot in the kitchen, without a doubt. But I want to know your thoughts, because this doesn't surprise me. Imani Bates making this move does not surprise me. And I do believe that, yeah, Imani Bates will probably play some pro ball for a year and then will take his talents to the NBA. Right move, wrong move? Do you think the system needs to be changed, or do you like where the system is headed? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News and leave us a comment anywhere there. Tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. And when we come back, I want you to hear from the head coach of the Michigan State women's golf team, Stacey Sobotnik-Stoll, who has done a remarkable job making Michigan State women's golf one of the best in the land. That and more. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And I want you guys to hear, because, you know, we don't show enough love to this program. That program being the Michigan State women's golf team, which took home the Big Ten championship last month, once again, after winning at TPC Rivers Bend in Mainville, Ohio, with an 11-under-par team score. And this is the program's third Big Ten championship since 2017 and sixth since 2011. Folks, that is elite. That is incredibly elite. And it's number eight for head coach Stacey Sobotnik-Stoll, 14th in program history. That's just incredible, man. And MSU entered, you know, that final round to take home the Big Ten championship. They entered that Sunday morning atop the leaderboard with Maryland and finished that evening 11 under par for a total score of 853, five shots ahead of the three teams tied for third place, which were Maryland, Nebraska, and that team down the road, that school down the road, Michigan. So, and overall, four Spartans finished in the top 14. Shout out to junior Valerie Plata, tied for third place, five under par, two birdies after playing bogey-free at a four under par 68 the round before on Saturday. Just amazing, man. You know, and that conference championship has now given the Michigan State women's golf program the Big Ten's automatic bid to the NCAA championship, which begins, the regionals begin on May 10th to the 12th. And we had the selection show and everything, and we know that the MSU women's golf team will now take part in the NCAA Louisville regional. Again, they earned that automatic bid, and they are the number 8 seed in the Louisville regional, May 10th to May 12th at the University of Louisville Golf Club out in Kentucky. This is the 21st NCAA regional appearance for this program since 1999. Oh, that's awesome stuff. So here is what Stacey Slobotnik-Stoll had to say after clinching yet another Big Ten championship trophy.
I guess my statement is just really happy to win another championship. I, you know, have many comments for the team over the course of the weekend, but you know, one of them is, I think the older you get, you really start to realize that you only have one opportunity per year to do something like this. And losing out on that opportunity was a big deal to us because we felt like we had such a talented team. So finally getting to play again this year, starting in February, was just, it was so awesome. So we're just thrilled to be able to bring another trophy back to East Lansing for Michigan State University.
Matt, go ahead.
You got to remember to unmute. Sorry. Congratulations, Stacey. I just wanted to ask, obviously, you know, you mentioned not being able to do this last year. But in your program, this is winning these championships. This is something that's become expected from you guys, or it's your expectation, you know, going into the season. I feel like I know this answer, but does it ever not get old does it always feel like that first time when you guys win a championship?
Yes. It never gets old. And, you know, going into yesterday, I kind of thought, okay, I got 25 years under my belt. I've done this 7 times. I'm like, let's keep the emotions under control today, or try to, and see. For me personally, you know, I can't let my players know like what's going on inside of me, because I would not be a good coach if I did that. But it really is 6 hours of, like feeling sick to your stomach because golf is, you know, as I explained to a lot of people, it's when I coach, I don't get to see all 6 of them at the same time. So Caroline, my assistant, and I, there's only 2 of us for 6 young people. So at any one time, if someone makes a mistake, we may not be there. We may not see it. You know, we're looking at golf stat on our phones and saying, oh my gosh, what happened? And unfortunately that didn't happen to us this weekend. It was more, okay, another birdie. But no, it's an amazing feeling. Especially when you've got such a cool group of young women who all are on the same page and want the same thing, are willing to work, are willing to do what was needed to do to get us through, you know, the COVID protocols to keep us safe this year. So no, it never gets old. I'll take as many as I can get before I retire.
And I just want to ask you about Valerie individually, obviously, as well as she played. If you could just talk about the way she's played all year, really. And then, of course, this past weekend.
Yeah, she's an amazing player, and she is an amazing person too. And the way she's played is awesome. I mean, she's ranked 60th in the world right now. She has a lot of goals, you know, for herself that are set, and she's willing to do what it takes to not only be a great student athlete at Michigan State and in the college ranks, but also as an LPGA Tour player. You know, that's her goal, and she has tunnel vision as to how she's going to get there. And Caroline and I are just excited that we have a player, you know, of her caliber that is on this team that wants that. And it's a coach's dream to coach, you know, not only her, but all of her teammates. She struggled the first day and was, you know, it was disappointing to her, but Caroline and I were like, she's going to come back with a vengeance the next 2 days, which she obviously did because, you know, she knows she's our low stroke average. She's the best player on the team. And, you know, in her mind, I think she knows she didn't do her job the first day, but that's why we have a team. And I think that's what was so beautiful about this championship is it wasn't just 4 of them that won it. And sometimes that does happen. In this case, every single player contributed something. So it truly was a team effort for all 6 of our Spartans, and it was great.
Thank you. Congratulations again.
Thanks.
Audrey.
Yes, Stacey. Hi, congratulations. I want to know about this course in general and why you guys are able to kind of own this TPC Rivers Bend course. Why is that?
I think really I'd have to credit Sarah Burnham for that. You know, she shot 63 there, which was the school, the course, and the conference record. And we've just kind of been like riding those coattails since we won there with Sarah, and she shot that 63. And I think it's just a constant reminder for all of us what's possible on that golf course. That was part of my speech yesterday in the van. The last thing I said was, you know, obviously all my players look up to Sarah. She's full exempt status on the LPGA Tour right now. She actually finished 27th this past weekend out in LA. But my last saying to them was, you know, just remember your great Spartan teammate, Sarah Burnham, made 11 birdies on this golf course, 7 on the front nine alone. So, you know, this was after I gave them the list of who was in the van on, you know, yesterday and how many wins they had not only as Spartans, but also as junior players. So, you know, I just think, like I said, I would credit Sarah and what we started out with at TPC. And, you know, just as with the academic awards that we've been able to win, just as with the Big Ten Championship, there's a philosophy and a belief in this program that we recruit these kids to win. And when we're recruiting them, that's what we are explaining to them. We feel that you have the ability to help us continue to win Big Ten Championships. That's why we're bringing you here. And they come here and they are the kids that want to do the work and believe in that philosophy. And that's how we keep winning.
And, you know, unfortunately we weren't able to be there. And so what was just the overall feel as that you had the trophy in your hands and, you know, you guys were just kind of the culmination of the whole weekend?
Yeah, it was awesome. I'll say yesterday morning, you know, being in the van is you get a beat on how they're feeling. And, you know, sometimes it's like, I feel very uncomfortable if the van is, not noisy or they're not talking. And, you know, it's easy for them to do that now with the AirPods and the phones. And, but yesterday when we were driving to the golf course, we actually had an hour delay. We don't go out to restaurants. So everything we do is pick up. So we picked up our breakfast from this little Half Moon Cafe place in Mason, Ohio. And we were eating in the van and then found out that we had an hour before we were an hour off. So it was an hour delayed. So in my mind, I'm like, oh boy, okay, what are we going to do with these kids to keep them, you know, kind of revved up for the next hour? Cause now we're kind of off track. We, you know, they got up a little too early and nothing to do of our fault. It was just, there was fog yesterday morning. We pulled into the golf course probably like 20 minutes early than we needed to be there. And I didn't want to like give the speech that early because I wanted them just to kind of sit there. And all of a sudden the music started playing. And I was like, okay, the blaring music is always a good, you know, a good sign. Then the van door opens and now they're virtually hanging out the van door, dancing and singing. And Eureka, our Japanese player, is an incredible dancer. She has a lot of skills and moves. So it's like the kids are so circled around her and she's dancing in the center. And I'm like, it's going to be a good day. Like they feel calm. They feel like collected. And you know, what I said to them also in the van was those 8 people in the van own 11 Big Ten championship rings. And Poth, our 5th year senior, owned 2 of those and Eureka won. So I already had 2 players that had already won Big Ten championships at that golf course. So, you know, that's just, it says a lot about, you know, bringing Pop back for a 5th year and just having the knowledge of how to do it and what the course, what we were going to expect from the course.
Thank you. Congrats, Ken.
That was a long answer. Sorry.
That's okay. No, I like the detail.
Fred.
Hi, can you hear me? Probably not.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, you can. Hi, Stace. Sorry, I dressed up for this for you. Congrats. We've talked 700 times over the years about the expectations in your program, but while you may have expected this, you weren't the favorite. Was that any different or motivating at all?
I think that what I just tried to instill in the team this year is that the rankings this year really didn't matter because the fall season was once again taken away from us. So instead of having this huge piece of work, body of work that encompassed the fall and the spring, we were only, the rankings are only from the spring. So there was a lot less rounds being calculated. And we did go through a little bit of a rough patch there in March with the team. We kept a couple players, two of my best players at home, due to their performance. And, you know, I'm not just going to take kids along because I know they're the best players. You know, we all have to learn lessons in life that we've got to do our job, and just had those couple players that I felt I was willing to sacrifice the tournaments we were playing in at that time to make sure that everyone understood that they're being brought here for a job, and we need to fulfill those obligations on the golf course. So, none of us were really worried about the rankings, but you know, there were four teams that were ranked quite a bit ahead of us. And, you know, to me, it's sports, and that's why we all love sports so much, is because anything can happen if you believe in yourself and you believe in your teammates. And I think that without a doubt, that culture is very present in our program, and it always helps us in the end.
But did it motivate you at all that you weren't the favorite?
No, I really didn't care. The only thing I did care about was we had to play in the second pairing. So normally, so the top three teams in the ranking play together. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And we were actually fifth. And so I didn't like that very much that we had to play in the second wave of pairings, but we took care of that after the first day.
Isn't she the best? I mean, Stacy, when you listen to Stacy talk, I mean, she's so down to earth, so personable, but you also feel like, she's also going to push you and be firm as well. I just would love to play for her. My goodness. I mean, I you know, one of my regrets though, period, is not playing high school golf because I'm such a golf nut, you know, shout out to Al Woods, you know, my other moniker there. Right. But, gosh, I could have been playing free golf in high school all the time just by being a member of the golf team. What was I thinking? But yes, shout out to Stacy, just an amazing, amazing coach. And, you know, being a part of the Louisville Regional, Michigan State as the eighth seed is very special. Again, May 10th. So, you know, come next week, Monday. That's when things will begin for Michigan State. Currently ranked number 32 nationally by Golfstat. And again, has won 3 of the last 4 and 6 of the last 10 Big Ten championships. Awesome, awesome stuff. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a bow on this May 5th, Wednesday, Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, folks, we are out of time. Man, fun show today. Fun show. And just want to remind you guys that, you know, as we push along here, you can weigh in. You know, if you have any thoughts on what we covered today, you know, whether, you know, you may disagree with me and think that, you know, I'm full of crap, right? When it comes to, you know, this new model that the G League has adopted that is really threatening college basketball as far as getting the top talent to come and play college basketball, which in turn drives up ratings, which in turn brings in more revenue for collegiate hoops, right? Do you agree with this model? And are you shocked that Imani Bates decided to decommit from Tommy Izzo's program? I mean, what do you think? I mean, if you have any thoughts also, you know, on just, you know, the Lugnuts baseball being back here in Lansing. And also, too, you know, I'm going to tackle this on tomorrow's Current Sports because it's been on my mind. But this whole discussion about Michigan State football not having one player taken in this year's draft, it snaps a streak of 80 straight years in which at least one Michigan State football player has been taken in the draft. When you do the math, you got to go all the way back to 1940. That was the last time Michigan State, you know, well, that's when the streak began, I should say, in 1940. 1938 was the only other year since the draft began in 1936 that a Spartan was not selected. Isn't that incredible? So I'm going to tackle this because I've heard a lot of discussion about this on social media. Is this a big deal or not? All right. So a little tease for Thursday. Until then, though, we are now on a 23-hour break. We'll see you on Thursday. Be smart, be safe, and as always, Be easy, people.